Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he's our buddy from the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read his fine work at brownzone.com. He is Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
Just blaming the kicker, man. That's all I'm doing, blaming the kicker.
More to it than that, Scott, although the kicker will be out of work.
Jeff,
Scott, I don't know how you get past Zane Gonzalez, you know?
Boom! Thank you!
No, he just said there was more to it than the kicker, but you don't get past Zane
That's
Gonzalez.
That's right.
Zane's the only guy who's getting fired today because of yesterday's game.
Scott, you're a friend of the show.
Would you agree,
I'm just glad
Scott?
You support me.
He's the only guy getting fired.
Only one getting fired. I would say he was the major reason why they lost. In every game, a bunch of stuff goes wrong. Tyrod Taylor shouldn't have thrown the late interception.
Agreed.
There's plenty of things you can point to, but Zane Gonzalez was the overriding factor in that game, in my opinion.
And by the way, a backup quarterback shoved it down your throat on a kick return, right?
Yeah.
As I look back at the turning point in the game, to me, that was like, uh-oh, this isn't good. Things are starting to turn around here. All right, here's the thing that I think is really hard to swallow today, Scott. This team is good enough to be 2-0 right now. And I think that's the problem that I know I'm having, and I'm sure most Browns fans are saying this morning, why is this team 2-0? They should be 2-0.
Right. I hear you. And I think that's what the organization's wondering, what Hugh Jackson's wondering. I know that's what Jarvis Landry was wondering. We're talking to him after the game, and, that came up, the fact that good teams find ways to win. And this Browns team, despite coaches, despite front office, despite players, continues to find ways to lose. And that's what has to change. And you hope it's because of guys like Jarvis Landry, that don't just accept the losing, that don't just say, hey, this is what happens in Cleveland, we lose. And that only comes down to figuring out a way to make a play late in the game and to finish a game. And I thought Antonio Callaway did that yesterday. I thought Tyrod Taylor did it yesterday. Obviously, Zane Gonzalez did not do that yesterday. Their margin for error is still small, and I think that comes from having, a mediocre and a run-of-the-mill quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. They're not going to score 40 points a game, so therefore your margin of error is smaller. They don't have Josh Gordon anymore. So, therefore, your kicker can't miss four kicks. They're just not good enough to overcome those things, especially on the road against a pretty good team. It also means that this game against the Jets, we always knew it would be a must-win, but it's a must-win because 1-1-1 is going to look a whole lot different for 10 days as opposed to 0-2-1.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. I threw this out earlier, Scott, and go ahead, turn it into a good story because I think it's a good one. Browns have had opportunities these first 2 weeks, and oddly enough, in week one, they played the Steelers, who yesterday gave up the league high in points in 42, and they were shredded by Pat Mahomes. And then in week two, they play the Saints, score only 18, and that's a Saint team that gave up the league high 48 points to Tampa Bay in week one. So in back-to-back weeks, they've played the worst defenses from the other week in the NFL, and yet they put up only 39 points. They're running the ball pretty well, but not passing the ball well. What do you do now to fix that? And I don't know if Baker Mayfield is the answer or not. I would think they're not going to do that. But how can you fix that passing game a little bit?
Well, I would not go to Baker Mayfield right now. I just think it sends the wrong message when John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson said the opposite forever. And Tyrod Taylor played much better yesterday than he did in the opener. I think, I go back to what Todd Haley said when we talked to him on Thursday about the time on task and the fact that this quarterback and these receivers haven't worked that much together and it's new offense and all those things. I don't think you can expect them to look like an offensive juggernaut. And I think when you look at who your quarterback is, we know what Tyrod Taylor's ceiling is. He's not a light 'em up guy, and maybe Baker Mayfield will be that someday. I just don't think now's the time. I would be fine with Baker Mayfield. I'm just saying the organization has been adamant and nothing has changed to make them say, let's make the switch to Baker Mayfield. I think you're limited at receiver, and I say that because Josh Gordon's not there. Outside of Jarvis Landry, you got a bunch of young guys. Now, Antonio Callaway made a couple plays yesterday, but three catches, it wasn't like he had 10 or 12. He wasn't Michael Thomas out there. And I think the other teams focus on taking away the run. So I just think it's unrealistic to expect this offense to be much better than it is at this point. But your point is well taken that a big-time offense would have done way more against Pittsburgh and New Orleans, especially given the number of turnovers that their defense gave them.
Right. Scott, let me throw this at you just because it's so weird because it's major news that happens before a game. I know what I heard about what the player said in the locker room afterwards, but with Josh Gordon's release, I wasn't shocked. Were you?
Well, I was shocked by the timing. Like when it happens, you're surprised, right? Sitting on the plane and, you know, the text comes that Josh is out with the hamstring, which always sounded fishy. And then I'm sitting down to dinner and you get the text that, hey, they're going to release Josh. So the timing of it surprised me, but we've talked a million times. And every time we talked about the receiving corps, I would say it's a huge question mark because you never know how long Josh is going to be here. And that came to fruition a lot sooner than we thought, right? It was one game. And you always knew that was a possibility. But, you know, I mean, I talked to people inside the team that were on Friday, there was no signs of Josh Gordon's going to be cut the next day, right? So this was abrupt. The players didn't know. The people around the team didn't know. And something changed Saturday that was just the last straw because of all his history. So, you know, if you go big picture, no, it's not stunning. If you go day before the game in New Orleans, yeah, it's stunning.
What can they get for him? What do you think?
Yeah, it's some kind of conditional draft pick. You know, is that
based on games played? I'll bet, huh?
Yeah, but yeah, based on playing time, right? Games played. You know, could it get as high as, you know, fourth, fifth round pick? I think that's the best you can hope for. You know, I mean, you don't get much in trade anyway, and I don't think you get much in trade for a guy with Josh's kind of baggage. But they will get something. And you know, John Dorsey said he'd release him today. There's no deadline pressure. You know, I mean, he can if he's got two teams in a bidding war, or he's talking to, he's not happy with the offer, he can wait. There's nothing that says he has to release Josh Gordon today just because he said it on Saturday.
Right. I agree.
You're bringing in wide receivers?
That's a tough one. I think you need more depth. Although, you know, they had five dressed yesterday and only three played. It was only Landry, Callaway, and Higgins played. Ratley and Willie's only played on special teams. You know, I would work guys out. I would have, you know, as they say, the short list of guys I'd bring in. I'm not ready to bring in Dez Bryant. I think I think he brings his own baggage, and it's a tough spot for him to come into, and he's not ready to play, right? He needs to get in better shape. You know, so it's going to be week 6 or 7 maybe by the time he's ready to go. You know, I still don't think the team makes a playoff run. It just feels like, why not go young and see what you have with these guys and then address it at a later time? Now, if there's another injury or, you know, 2 weeks from now you go, man, this receiving corps is killing them, then I'd reconsider Dez. But I just hate to go down that road when you got rid of Josh and, you know, bring in another guy that, to me, is a distraction.
Anybody jump out at you who might be available at wide receiver?
No, I think they'd have to, you know, I mean, obviously – outside of Dez, I think you have to go with young guys that were part of the final roster cuts. You know, and I don't, you know, I couldn't tell you the 1,000 guys that were cut out there, which receivers might have piqued John Dorsey's interest, but I think that's the route you have to go. And then you try to take a guy in the first or second round next year because, you know, unless Antonio Callaway turns into a bona fide stud as a rookie, that's right at the top of the list of areas you need to improve and add quality depth, especially when, you know, we assume it's going to be Baker Mayfield next year. You need to surround him with some talent. And when you look out there and, you know, Rashard Higgins is fine, but I don't think he's the number 3 in this league. So you definitely have to bolster that.
You know, we haven't talked about this all day, and I think it's worth talking about. How about the Browns defense yesterday, especially when you're missing a couple of major players? And Kirksey, I mean, we all were hoping that he might play yesterday, but ended up not playing. I can't tell you how impressed I was with the defense, even though they gave up that late touchdown.
Well, right. I mean, two more turnovers, right, from Terrence Mitchell were big. I thought that set a tone early. I love the game plan on both sides of the ball. I thought going with the ball control approach, sure, it, you know, kind of leaves you susceptible to a close game. But that's the only kind of game they were going to have we're going to be able to win. It's playing close to the vest, you know, keep it tight, settle for some field goals, you know, thinking you're going to make some field goals, and give yourself a chance to win in the fourth quarter. And I thought it played out just about perfectly. And on defense, you know, how about Larry Ogunjobi with the consistent pressure up the middle? That guy, you know, I thought before the season, I thought he was going to be a breakout guy. And through two games, it sure looks like that. I thought they played solid. And to do that to Drew Brees and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, sure, those guys made some plays, and they made some plays late. But I thought the Browns did as good as they could holding that threesome in check.
Thursday, quick turnaround. You have the Jets. I don't think anything at this point of the season is a must-win for anybody. But I would think if they don't beat the Jets, the pressure to play Baker Mayfield will get picked up, and maybe the pressure on Hugh Jackson gets picked up.
I think that's exactly right. And you're right. I probably exaggerated a little bit when I called it a must-win, but it's a big game. I mean, they're favored to win. Nobody, maybe not nobody expected them to win, but they weren't favored to beat Pittsburgh. They weren't favored to beat New Orleans. They come home, they're favored to beat the Jets. It's a rookie quarterback who's played pretty well, but he's thrown interceptions in his first two starts. You know, I'm sure Greg Williams is sitting there thinking, okay, we're going to turn this kid over. And the Jets aren't supremely talented. So, yeah, I think it's a huge game for all the reasons you mentioned, and it starts where it always starts, with quarterback and coach. And I think the whole mentality around the organization changes if they beat the Jets and you can relax, Tyrod Taylor plays okay. If Tyrod Taylor is a disaster and they lose to the Jets, that's 10 days to think about what comes next. Yeah. And that's when you have the chance for big changes.
Scott Petrak, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you, guys.
Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram. You can hear him on Baskin and Phelps and every Browns Therapy Monday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.